Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
What a crisp drum sound that track has. Finger clicks. It's like clicky, innit? Click, click, click. How you doing? It's Pete Donaldson here and Luke Moore, and we collectively together. Can you be collective if you're two people? I don't know. Either way, it's the Luke and Pete Show. Welcome to it, and you are welcome to it.
Hello. All right.
You're not allowed to talk.
That was a bit of a monologue from you, Pete. I was just enjoying it.
Just enjoying
watching a master at work.
Professional. I say professional sometimes because there was two kids on a train, and I think they were a bit... they were silly boys, but one of them had said, "Oh, my phone is broken." And the other one had a skateboard, and he went, "Giz it here." And he got the phone and he mashed it against the trucks on his skateboard and went, and the other guy, kid went, "Oh, you fixed it." And the other one went, "Professional." So every time I hear somebody say professional, I go, "Professional."
Do you need a hard reset? Because that sounded like the sort of one of those generate, like, BuzzFeed generating meme stories of the day.
I think you're breaking down too.
Yeah, I don't know
what
I'm doing.
It's too hot in here, isn't it?
Watching you then do the intro to that show, Pete, was a bit like, it was like watching a master in action. It was like when the Sunday evening, popular BBC show, Country File, where they'll go to the middle of nowhere and say, "This guy here with the moustache and the dungarees on, he's the country's last ever barrel maker."
Yeah.
And then he'll make a barrel. Yeah. And then everyone go, "God, that's a master at work." That's what it was like watching you.
Dying art. If you're ever, obviously doing the podcast abroad in Japan, so I have the NHK, which is the BBC of Japan, their app installed on my television. So occasionally, for some whatever reason, I'll turn on the telly and NHK will just be on.
Right.
And
Is it Japanese language? There's no subtitles?
No. So it's all English.
Oh, okay.
It's all in English. It's basically like the World Service, but it's Japanese, basically. Huh. So they run documentaries about master craftsmen, Japanese master craftsmen. And basically, this guy designed this incredible train. I think it was called the King's Train or something like that.
Right.
And it was this beautiful kind of plush Orient Express kind of situation. But it was the body of an old crappy train that nobody liked anymore. And basically, these guys had to make this very particular part of a light. And it was an hour-long documentary about these men making this bent bit of metal fit the original train situation. And they didn't have any plans for it. They just had a drawing to work from. And basically, they admitted halfway through that this could have been done with computers really quickly. But these guys went, "But we want to do it the proper way."
Right.
And they fucked it up so many times, so I don't even want to get into it.
Is it boring?
And they had to, but all the way through, they were just ringing their bosses and apologising in a very kind of earnest way, as the Japanese do, because it's all about honour and respect and all that stuff. So they were basically, it was like Challenge Annika, but they had to finish this little bit of golden metal. And every time they bent the metal into shape, they had to get the strongest man on the team to bend this metal physically into a shape. And then they'd have to buff it again and get it gold plated. And oh man, it was a right old rigmarole.
It went on for an entire hour,
like the story about it, really. But but I recommend watching NHK. It's very relaxing, and also
must have one in the background, a bit like the Good Food Channel, like I was talking about.
Definitely, get the NHK
until James Martin comes on. You turn away.
They had they don't have many English speakers to do the voices. Like the charismatic voices of the engineers.
Get your agent on it.
I know, right?
Yeah, you've just been dropped from another one of those. I mean, you've got loads of time.
All right, I did it for 8 years. That, you know, that's a long time in continuity.
As it said in the letter, it's run its course.
Actually, I was the last DMAX announcer. So I went down with the ship.
do a country file thing on it. A dying breed.
The last continuity answer on Discovery. These guys do it, and they got like the, you remember like Eurotrash back in the 80s?
They'd get
like, whenever they would have like a, it would be like a guy who does pig impressions in France or something.
Yeah.
Or Versailles or something. And it'd be like, oh, this man can do a lot of impressions of pigs. And the guy might go, oh, yes, I've been doing a pig impression for ages. It's kind of like that. They had like the engineers, like this really cambos.
They always used to get the traffic.
Oh, I'm going to bend the metal into a right shape now.
They always used to trot on Eurotrash. They would always get a really over-the-top translator to make it, to undermine the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that thing you're talking about there, like a Frenchman doing an impression of different pigs, was a part of content which I used to refer to as the filler bit before you see another naked lady.
Yes, definitely.
Because that's the only reason any adolescent man was watching that show.
Get Lola Ferrari back on. I think we spoke about her on the show.
She died now, I think. Recently on Luke and Pete, I should give people a little roundup. First of all, lots of people, Pete, interested in a sunburn update from you. You're back to fighting fit now, are you not?
I'm back fighting fit.
Doing okay.
It's now recovered, though. I am in day 4 or 5 of a rather barren patch for the old pupils.
Oh, dear.
And you've talked about this on the show, so it's not me being gauche or rude.
It's like back 2012 when you only had 3 in the whole year.
I went to find some tablets to help the process go along.
Senecot?
No, there's 2 different kinds of poopies. There's stuff that softens the stool, and there's stuff that just gives the whole system a kick, like a cup of coffee or a big heavy cigarette.
Or a fig.
or a line of cocaine.
Stop it.
And so I always go for the latter. Not the cocaine. I mean the tablets that rush it along physically, get the muscles moving, so to speak. I've got a lazy gut, clearly. I found some tablets. I had about 3 of them, realised they went out of nick in 2009.
Oh dear, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen next?
It might come out my mouth. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know. 2009, I don't know.
If you've got any tips, hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. Maybe some exercises Pete can do. He spent too long in his youth on all fours with his butt up in the air, trying to suck air in to do pumps, and now it's come back to bite him. Other things we were talking about. Here's one, Pete. I've embarrassed myself here, so it's only fair that I come clean.
Mm-hmm.
The secret chocolate bar. Remember we talked about that?
Oh, yes.
Well, I sent an email to Cadbury's about it, and then said, can I please come around the
and have a look at it
as well?
Have a look at the bits and bobs.
They flat battered me away. Turns out the reason they flat battered me away is because the secret bar was made by Nestle.
Oh no!
Yes.
Why didn't they tell you that though? They should know the history.
More accurately, Roundtree. Remember Roundtree?
Yes.
Which was eventually bought out by Nestle.
Hang on. So Roundtree's fruit pastels are not made by Roundtree. They're made by Nestle.
I think Nestle owns them now. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I think so.
That's a buyout. That's
So I've made a bit of a dickhead of myself there. We talked a bit about those guys that almost blew up an entire school. More on that.
That was so violent. I was so into that story.
I've got more on that.
What a mess.
We also did, Pete, names that you wouldn't call a baby in 2018.
Mm.
Which
Eric.
Yeah. Eric wasn't one, was it?
I'm having it, though.
Could be now.
Eric.
Yeah. The most robust fast food in terms of how it would stay together if you dropped it from a height or whatever. And also bringing animals into the studio, something we haven't done this week, but we can't rule out in the future.
Long egg.
The long egg as well, of course.
We talked
about
long egg.
And if you want to get in touch about any of those subjects, it is, of course, hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. Speaking about those guys that almost blew up an entire school, if you don't remember or you haven't listened to that episode yet, that was basically to do with them stealing, essentially, some sodium or some sort of version of sodium, I suppose, from the science department. And Ben Steele, friend of mine and listener to the show, got in touch and he says the following. The Luke and Pete Show story about the sodium exploding in the toilets. My dad tells of how he used to work as a lab technician at a school and at the end of term chucked a whole load of the same stuff off the pier at Skegness because the chemistry teacher couldn't think of a better way to get rid of it. He claims they threw one in, nothing happened, so they thought it was fine and threw a load more in, and then the first one exploded because it must have taken some time for the oil to wash off.
Yeah.
He said the 80s to sound like ridiculous. Like, I'd love to have been like a fly on the wall when that conversation happened.
Why'd you get rid of that?
What were we going to do with it? Well, Not that far from the sea, are we?
Was the school shutting down? Or why did they have to get rid of the sodium?
It sounds like the scene from, is it Crocodile Dundee? Where there's a dynamite in the lake and yes. all the fish come up.
Incredible.
Yeah, so there you go. Any more sodium-based stories, do get in touch. But yeah, look, to go back to the secret thing, it's a regret of mine. I've embarrassed myself there because if there's one thing I like to think I know about, chocolate bars would be up there. And I didn't even realise that it wasn't a Cadbury's bar. So... there we go.
That's all right. I mean, you just assume that Cadbury's make all the chocolate bars.
Yeah.
I think so, anyway.
I agree. I think that's right.
Oh, dear. Right. Shall we do some emails?
Mm.
Is that kind of like the state of play?
Yeah, we've got loads of emails recently about things I've just mentioned there, but we'll get to them in sort of an order.
Due process.
Yeah, because we can't, otherwise we end up missing ones out and we don't get through the ones we want to get through. So be patient. If you've sent one in about some of those subjects, we will get to them. And we always have a little bit of inertia, so just bear with us. But after this quick break, we'll have some emails. Thank you, Pete.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
So, Sheikh, you're telling me that drinking camel's urine is part of the deen? Akhi, don't get me wrong.
Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong.
I've got an email about camel urine.
What?
Oh, no,
have you actually?
Yeah, I have.
Wow.
Yeah. We are email. Right. This one is from John Spooner.
Spoonzo! Hit him off your leg. Make a little song.
Isn't that a Soundgarden song? And this email is ostensibly about camel urine, but listen to the final sentence as well. So if you're listening at home, take it in, embrace it, enjoy it. It's about camel urine, but there's a nice little payoff at the end.
Oh.
I don't want you to miss it. John Spooner says, about 10 years ago, I enjoyed a couple of walking holidays in the Sahara. I mean, that to
did
me
you just
something.
Get dropped and you had to just make your way across the Sahara?
Sorry, John, were you lost in the Sahara? I think you'll find it was a walking holiday. Why have you got no clothes on?
The wanderlust of wandering in the Sahara.
If it was a walking holiday, John, presumably you're not thirsty.
Yeah.
No, I'm not thirsty, actually. I don't want any of that water. He says, while we trudged along, our gear was carried by camels. Camels, ooh, as is well known, have a huge capacity for storing liquid and take every opportunity they can to take on more water.
Yes.
What is less well known is that they take on more water than they can carry and immediately expel the excess from their bodies. By a process which I can no longer recall, a swishing tail perhaps, the urine is converted into a fine spray, so that cooling mist you experience in the desert heat can be camel urine.
No.
So if there's one thing I've learnt in life, he says, it's never to follow a camel too closely when leaving an oasis. Listen to the payoff. My batteries in my hotel room last night were dead Duracells, so to make it work, I got the batteries from my head torch that were, and get this, because a new player has entered the game, Handy Heroes.
Handy Heroes.
Have you ever heard of a battery called a Handy Hero?
That's wonderful, because it isn't a play on cell or power or anything like that.
They're handy, and they help you out.
Handy Heroes.
Amazing battery chat, that.
Yeah.
That's top draw battery chat.
It's very English, and handy's not an international English word, you know what I mean? Because most of these batteries are just rebranded.
I imagine you said the word handy to a lot of foreign-speaking people before.
Handy Hero? Can I have a Handy Hero, please? Why is it when I'm gosh, you go, Peter?
I think I sort of bring a veil of responsibility about it.
No, I'm not having it.
One of our iTunes reviews said, Luke does his best to keep this show out of the gutter.
Yeah.
Which I guess is sort of true.
And I drop sodium into it, bringing the gutter to you in many
absolutely
ways.
Absolutely right. Yeah. So have you got anything to add on the camel urine thing? I don't think I've ever been close to a camel.
We used to have a couple of Bactrian camels in the zoo.
I prefer a dromedary, I think.
Which are, they're two, no, one hump is
dromedary
Bactrian,
two hump, and I think they're, yeah, are they based around sort of far East Asia, sort of, yeah, Mongolia, around there?
Lovely, lovely looking animals. They when they're mistreated, they can look a bit sad because their humps kind of sag a little bit.
But the problem with that is, and as you well know by now, I'm not an expert, if they're being well looked after and they're getting fed and watered essentially whenever they want it, do they need the big hump?
Good point. Yeah.
There you go.
You animals only, you know, they people sort of talk about the cruelty of zoos, and I agree. I don't think they should exist, except for keeping animals that would otherwise die from living. But animals invariably only move on and need a lot of room because they've exhausted the food supply. And if the food's in regular supply, they don't move.
Right.
And, so I think all animals should live in cages for the their lives.
A lot of zoos are educational, sort of studying type things for people.
You can,
right,
study. Nowadays, you can study from videos and stuff. You don't have to be right there, do you?
No, you can't. Of course you do. You can't put your hand up a camel's butt on a video, can you?
What zoo allowed you to do that, you deviant?
Your one. I always think it's ironic.
10 quid.
When we talk
glory
about
hall.
When
we talk camel glory hall. Don't mind the mist.
Don't spray the urine. I always think it's ironic when we talk about zoos, which comes up a lot when we're actually sat in like a box with a window at the front, which yeah, essentially looks like a human zoo.
We just watched, you know, guaranteed a couple of you will be familiar with the Football Ramble. We just watched Marcus Speller try to reconnect a HDMI cable to a PlayStation 4. Hasn't managed it and has just left the building. Annoyed with it. He just left the building.
He is the archetypal sort of duck on top of the water. Very smooth, but underneath the legs are whirring around.
Wow. I don't know who's like enjoyed that more. Us looking out at them doing it or them looking in going, I don't know what I'm doing.
I like that they just down tools and left.
No, rather than going,
I don't want to play that much. I'd rather go home. I'm not wasting an afternoon on this.
Oh man, Chris in Sheffield. Hello to Chris in Sheffield. Oh no, wait a minute. No, that's what I've done is speaking to the football. I've appended ramble emails to the top of the Luke and Pete Show. Luke and Pete Show, Steve Barron. Hopefully, a relation to Steve Bannon.
No, I like that Steve Barron comes along so quickly after an email about the Sahara, which of course is Barron.
Good point.
Probably isn't Barron, actually.
No, people got to live there, haven't they? Barry's Paw, Boring Panasonic, thank you. I've just listened to episode 78. I thought I might add to your list of child actors who never acted again. Carrie Henn, who played Newt in Aliens.
Excellent.
They come at night mostly.
Oh, it's a great performance.
They come at night mostly. After that iconic role, she never acted before or after that role. She was asked to act in Alien Farm.
She was the front man in Alien Ant Farm.
She was asked to act in an Alien fan film, but 20th Century Fox put a stop to that. She now works as a school teacher in California. You see that a lot in video games, a lot of fan mods and fan games that the people put together with obviously IP that doesn't belong to them. Mm. Sometimes the companies involved are quite benevolent. They'll let them just get on with it and play with their IP a little bit. Most of them very much do not, Nintendo being a notable exception to that one.
I really like that Carrie Henn has got 6 credits in IMDb for her career. 1, Aliens, of course.
Yeah.
The other 5, video documentaries about the film.
Nice, I like that.
It's an interesting point because that is a fantastic film. Mm. Now, people of an older generation.
Is that the one where she get she gets the robot arms, like the lifting arms and stuff? Yeah. Like that exoskeleton thing.
Get away from me, you bitch. Or stay away from me, you bitch. Yeah. But it's the second one in the series. I like all 3. I like the first 3 anyway. But anyway, people of my parents' generation will always tell you the first one's the best one, right? Because it's like a thriller, it's a horror, you never see the alien, it's a suspense thing. But for me, I came into the party watching Aliens as my first one, which of course is this great, like, James Cameron, like, allegory for, like, the Vietnam War, and there's a lot of action, and there's a lot of great lines in it, and Newt is brilliant in it. And for me, that's the strongest one.
All right.
But to think that she was in such a prominent film, a James Cameron movie, massive budget, huge stars, did really well, is rated as one of the best films, or one of the best sort of, I guess, whatever you'd call it, sci-fi action thriller films of all time, really. Yet she's never appeared in anything again. Yeah. Do we know why that is? Why she didn't want? Did she not want to? Did she not get any work?
I don't know. I just think people just kind of. I think it's enormously difficult for child actors to break out of that particular. They've kind of got to go away and then come back again.
No, but they get other opportunities.
Like you get typecast as a child actor. You get typecast as like playing the same kind of role over and over again. I always think with child actors, they never need to be that good. And when they're really good, you're like, oh wow, yeah, you got some chops. So child actors don't necessarily need to be that good.
No, that's right. And I think when you get a couple of child actors who are genuinely good, and I'm thinking Stranger Things kids here, right, it's really surprising.
Yeah, and I think when they're good, they're either just normal kids who happen to be have a little bit of choppery, and then there's like the stage school kids who are really kind of precaution. You're like, oh, I don't like you at all. Or there's just people who are just fucking brilliant, and they're going to be actors for the rest of their lives.
Those Stranger Things kids, a lot of them are stage school kids, I think. Mm. Maybe one of them is in Les Miserables or something like that.
Right.
Tell people when you talk about chops and when you talk about choppery, what do you mean?
Like having a propensity to be able to do it. Chops. Yes. Acting chops.
Get your chops out.
Get your chops out.
Have you got podcast chops?
God, no. I do enough of them, so I should. I'm hoping to gain some.
What sort of brand of chops have you got?
I am...
goodness me,
really good at buying wires.
Yeah, that's true. You've got good wire buying,
wood wire buyer,
wire purchasing wire buyer. Chops.
Oh, wire buyer.
I'm very good. My chops, I'm very good at essentially, I think I've got to the point now in my Sainsbury's local where I have tried every single different brand of not just crisps but biscuits as well.
Is that chops?
Have you
flirted with the Patek's product in the international aisle?
No, I haven't.
I love those. I think they're maize or corn based kind of snacks. They're a little bit like Skips, but they're spicy kind of.
Oh yeah, nice that. Yeah.
So international aisle. International aisle, things I like. You'll occasionally get it in kind of Brixton area. A bigger juice. Which is a really strong tropical drink.
It's too sugary for me, that stuff.
It's incredible, though. It's something else. I put on a lot of weight during the mid-noughties when I was drinking a lot of bigger juices. I was getting 2 or 3 bigger juices a day.
You still get them?
Beautiful.
Can you still find
punch.
Them?
Yeah, you still buy bigger juices. It's kind of like...
What flavours are we talking about?
Just the usual kind of Jamaican fruit punch kind of flavours, but oh, it's strong. Oh, if you ever get the chance to indulge in a bit of bigger juice. But it's weird in kind of like... in that aisle, you'll always get bigger juice, but you always get Supermalt as well. Supermalt's one of those drinks where I've flirted with it.
Awful.
But I just can't get my head around it. I just can't.
My brain can't process the flavour.
Yeah, I'm trying my best to kind of, it's like Guinness without the booze. It's like.
Yeah. I can't, my brain finds it very hard to process things that to my brain should be sweet, but are in fact savoury. Mm. My next door neighbours are absolutely lovely. They, the lady, she made carrot courgette and cheese muffins.
Okay, yeah, that would work, wouldn't it?
But to me, a muffin is a sweet thing. Mm. So my brain's expecting something sweet.
A muffin's a sweet thing.
Oh, the sweetest thing.
Yeah.
Can we go back to child actors really quickly?
All right.
Because Danny Lloyd of The Shining, remember we talked about him?
Yeah.
He was actually in one other thing. So I think we mentioned that he was only in The Shining in 1980.
Wasn't the making of The Shining, no?
No, it was this weird TV movie a couple of years later. Yeah. But did I say to you, I might have done, apologies if I did, that they worked really hard to shoot his scenes in a way that he didn't realise he was in a horror movie because they were worried about him.
Yeah, you did say that. I mean, it's hard to dress up that lift. Yeah.
Why is Jack Nicholson looking like that? That's what I'll be thinking.
Why has he got an axe?
Yeah, he's 8 years old.
Have you seen like the videos of him like trying to get crazy in like a hotel in one of the rooms?
Yeah, it's great. Slapping himself in the face. Yeah, it's brilliant. Warming up for it.
Woo, woo, woo.
So you know that's really interesting because you know this idea of acting, the method form of acting where you become that person. So Daniel Day-Lewis or whatever, he never comes out of character on set. Yeah. I love the quote.
It's all very tedious. Isn't it?
I love the quote from Laurence Olivier. I think it was Laurence Olivier who, when he was asked about it and why he didn't do that, he was like, it's called acting.
No, yeah. You're supposed to act. It was Dustin Hoffman.
Okay.
I think we spoke about this on the show before, where Dustin Hoffman ran around, he had to pretend he was out of breath, so he ran around the block a couple of times. And I think he was acting with the aforementioned actor and went...
Marathon Man, he said...
He said, what are you doing? He said, I need to be out of breath. He goes, why don't you do some acting? Dear boy. Why don't you do some acting?
Lovely stuff. So what email were we doing then? I've forgotten.
Oh, can't remember. Luke. Steve Barron's. Yeah, go on.
Would you want to do another one or should I do one?
I'll stick in a double. Do you want a quick one? I'll smash out a quick one.
You do one because I've got a quick one for you after.
Okay. Please keep me anonymous. So I use my pseudonym Dan Gleeballs. I'm currently in the vicinity of boring Energizer batteries. I work on the London Underground and spent 8 years as an engineer on nights, spending shift after shift on the track and down the tunnels, maintaining signaling equipment and fault finding. A job that I cannot imagine it could be made easy by any stretch of the imagination.
Watch out for those shower curtains.
Episode 78, you were talking about rats found in the tunnels and whether or not the rumours of dog/cat-sized rodents lurk beneath the rails. To put simply, bullshit. The biggest I've seen is no larger than your average adult male's hand span.
Or is that a conspiracy?
Yeah, Dan Gleeballs.
That's exactly the sort of thing I'd expect someone to say who was actually secretly breeding a load of super-sized rats.
That's why he kept anonymous, because he's breeding alpaca-sized rats.
He wants to be kept anonymous because his rats are so big and so advanced, they've all got iPhones now, and he doesn't want to hear his name to blow the experiment.
I think most of the rats are off to Canary Wharf, yeah? Huh.
Yeah.
Rat race.
The rat race. Yeah. Told you about Morning Sheep.
Morning Sheep.
Morning Sheep.
Morning Sheep.
I wish he was still about. He's almost certainly passed away. So
yeah.
Good stuff from Dan Gleeballs.
Thanks, Dan.
What about this from David, Pete? David, comma Pete. Not his name isn't David.
David.
Pete. He says, hello, lads. I'm at first duty bound to inform you that my TV remote is boasting a pairing of Philips and a rather exciting V2 Extreme Power battery.
Ooh.
He says, now to my matter at hand. I'm going out on a whim here.
Is that the term?
No, it's going out on a limb. Okay. David's let himself down there.
David.
Although he has spelt the word whim properly, so good for him. Mm. I'm going to suggest that I speak for many a listener who has tuned in since last summer's episode one when I ask, whatever happened to Donny Sterling bare naked ladies impressions? I found myself doing it the other day and it made me realise we'd not heard it for a while. I therefore asked that Pete gives us a rendition for old time's sake. Now, before I get into that, I was in the kitchen yesterday.
Mm.
My...
Surprise.
Yeah, my favourite room. My wife was making meatball subs for dinner, delicious. And I was helping out, I think. And we had Absolute Radio on.
Right.
Which is a parish you are a key member of. Treasurer, probably.
Treasurer. I'm on everywhere.
And you played Bare Naked Ladies. And then afterwards, you did the impression.
I did the impression.
Not good enough for these fucking listeners, is it? But it's good enough for them. Well, you've taken it mainstream. David, your answer is Pete Donaldson has taken it mainstream.
I get paid a small amount of money through that show. It's a pre-recorded show, which I do relatively quickly. I've got quite good at it. That's what I've got quite good at.
I find that doing, very hard to play. You've got chops. You've got absolute radio chops.
Doing three-hour radio shows in downwards of 7 minutes. I think because of the nature of the fact that the 90s is over, there can't be any new music that's produced. And obviously,
so this is Absolute Radio 90s.
Absolute Radio 90s. Yeah. So there's no new music coming out of the 90s, effectively. You can find little bits and bobs. We sometimes do a feature called Haven't Heard It For Ages, where we play a song that you don't get to hear on the radio very often. That's always nice. But the normal Absolute Radio 90s, you ain't going to get a new song. So I've kind of exhausted all of my stories about every song. So I'm having to kind of diversify a little bit. Bare Naked Ladies, I had nothing, so I just went, it's been.
That was all right, actually.
Yeah.
Do you practice it behind, keep your eye in sort of thing?
What do you mean?
Well, the same way that Gary Lineker said the other day that he used to do 50 penalties a day in case he got one at the weekend.
Oh, really?
And he would do a different one each time. So he'd say, right, what I mean by that is he'd say, today I'm going to practice, I'm going to do my 50 penalties and I'm going to put them in the top right corner. Ah. And whatever he had practiced, he would put in practice in the game, right? Mm. Do you do that with your It's Been? Do you do 50 a day to keep yourself going?
No, I think it's such a short thing. I could probably do 50 in a minute. I'm not going to. Let's make that very clear.
Oh, I'm afraid you fucking Right, how many It's Bins can you do in a minute? I'm going to time you now. Let me get 50. My timer out. You can do 50.
I'm
okay.
Going to try 50.
So I'll time it and I'll count.
Right.
Bear me a second. I've got to get my stopwatch out.
All right. If you can count, that'd be cool.
I'll count them. Don't worry. You just do as many as you can. All right. Do you know what I'll do? I'll do it on timer so it counts down.
Yeah, okay.
Ready? I'll count you in. They've got to be of requisite quality.
Okay.
Okay. And go.
It's been it. How long have I got left? It's been it. 20 seconds. Fuck me. It's been. It's been.
That's the end.
Oh, I must have nailed 50 there. Easily. God, that easily.
Hello, Luke and Pete's show. Have you counting? Because I lost my mind. Pete's neck. Your neck then. It looked like you were going to have a heart attack.
That's where it comes from. The power's all in the neck, like Ronaldo header.
So I think that they were probably all of the requisite quality we were after as well. You kept it up.
Well, after a while, when you repeat anything for any length of time, it's been, becomes spin it. spin it. It's like when you hear somebody says, I've got an anti-lil. Now, if you say anti-lil, it sounds like little. And once you hear anti-little, you can't hear it again.
Anti-lil, yeah.
Lil?
It's like when someone says, I'll talk to you about how often you blink or whatever, you can't stop blinking then. If you are listening to that still, apologies for my corpsing, and you did count, or you can replay it and count back. Hello at lukeandpeacher.com to see how many. I think Pete was well over 50 in a minute.
Over 50.
Yeah.
And also, I think you forget how long a second is sometimes, I think.
I think one thing doing like
when
radio.
When it comes to the bedroom.
Radio and podcasting and stuff does teach you how long like 10 seconds is.
Yeah.
You can move quite a long distance in like 10 seconds.
Yeah, massively.
Yeah, 10 seconds is a lot longer than perhaps you think. But if you can beat that Pete's record, we should get Norris McWhirter on for that.
He's dead, isn't he? We've got shot at the door by the IRA. Was that Ross McWhirter? Him or his brother got shot at the door by the IRA.
I think Norris McWhirter might have died old.
Norris McWhirter was on record breakers. Ross McWhirter was shot by the IRA. I'm fairly certain that's the case.
So Norris McWhirter died in 2004,
right,
age 78.
Look under brother.
Okay, I will. He died of a heart attack at his home in Wiltshire. Who's the other one? Ross.
Ross McWhirter.
I've never even heard of Ross McWhirter.
Yeah. I can't remember
what was he known for?
I can't remember why he was shot.
Oh, he was a twin brother and he was a contributor. He was murdered by the Provisional IRA in 1975.
I knew it!
Did not know that. Why did they target him?
They wanted to break a record.
Oh, no, he was a Conservative Party activist, apparently. Yeah. Maybe that's something to do with it. Who knows? Let's not get into that.
What I would say is, Luke, I thought that it was a really good finish, me saying it's been 50 times.
He's more than 50. You've probably got to about 70.
You brought it down with a provisional IRA now, haven't you?
That's always
your record chat.
I always get you in the end. Is that all we've got time for this time around?
Yeah, let's get out of here, mate. We've got things to do.
I've got loads of good emails for next time.
I know you have. I'm looking forward to them.
I've barely scratched the surface because of your nonsense.
You asked me to do it. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com if you want to get in touch. And if you want your shit read out, to be quite frank. We'll be back next week with more. Not next week, this Thursday, for more fun and games. We'll see you then.
See you later.
See ya.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.